This is Tom Reber from the Strongpreneur Podcast. In this episode, I talk with Michael Montalto. Michael is a commercial portrait photographer, technologist, and professional speaker, specializing in headshots for the professional and commercial photography campaigns. Michael is now focused on telling the story of how we interconnect as people and works with a variety of professionals, including entrepreneurs, doctors, lawyers, realtors, bankers, executives, politicians, actors, and marketers all over the world. When asked about his vision for his company, Michael replied, "I want to lead a business and live a life that inspires and celebrates the human spirit by telling stories of people in a unique, memorable, and profound way." In this episode of the Strongpreneur Podcast, Michael and I talk about the power of "you can't do it," dealing with self-doubt, and why creatives don't succeed in business. When you're done listening to this today, if you like what you heard, head over to iTunes and please make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. And if you would, leave us a review and let us know what you think. So, without any further discussion or wasted dead airspace, let's motor hard with Strongpreneur Michael Montalto.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Tom. Thanks for having me.
So tell us, you know, I could read your bio, you know, word for word right now, but why don't you tell us in your own words about Michael Montalto and some stuff that you think it's important for us to know about you.
Sure. So professionally, I have spent the better part of the last 15 years doing a combination of both technological and creative work. I began my career doing and supporting network systems for various companies like Motorola, HP, and a few others. But along the lines, some of my creative juices, I guess, began really started boiling, and I had always wanted to run a business. My interest in business was there was an entrepreneurial side of me that began to really evolve the older I got in my career, and I got some opportunities to really explore my passions, which is really interacting with people and listening and communicating and sharing, really. So from my standpoint, from a very young age, I was always interested in how things connected. And as I got older, it became more than just, you know, devices and really kind of merged into people. You know, they tend to be far more interesting in my mind than you know, a server somewhere. But so for the last 5.5-6 years, I have been in some way, shape, or form photographing people and places, specifically working with business owners, professionals, really, to help them expand their brand, to teach them how to convey who they are as individuals and to properly represent their brand. And to be as authentic. That's one of the big things that I talk to my clients about when we're going through our preliminary discussions is how to send the message that I know what I'm talking about, you can trust me, and you can trust me because I'm being who I am. So I think if you can kind of convey those very simple truths, and I do it, I happen to do it through imagery, it becomes much easier to make a connection with a potential client or your existing clients. So that's the 30,000 foot view of what I do and what I've been doing.
That's cool. You know, and for people that don't know, if you look at the Strongpreneur podcast image, that's a shot that you took, Michael, and it's you know, you definitely got it. You have a major gift to make people shine when they're getting their pictures taken and things like that. So you were working in the corporate world, doing all this technology stuff and working on servers and this and that. And then
Tell me about how you got started. Like, what was the point in time when you woke up and you were like, I can't necessarily do this anymore. I got to take a shot at my business. What was that moment like?
Well, that's a pretty deep story, but, I think as with most people, there was, kind of a question more than anything. I was asking myself, if I felt like I was being challenged anymore, and I had been going through some pretty big changes in my life. Speaking candidly, I had gone through a divorce, or was going through a divorce, and that sort of scenario puts a lot of things into question. And the genesis of wanting to take photographs and photograph well was twofold. One, I wanted to take pictures of my kids, and just like anybody else. But I had always been, I'd always had an artistic side to me. I'd always wanted, to either play music or to draw. And I still can't draw worth much of anything. But there was always that component of interest for me. I love museums. I love to travel. I love culture. I adore food, etc. But so as I was going through this really difficult personal time, the beginning of that, I made a decision that I wanted to go back to school, and I wanted to focus some energy on really understanding, how to be better at, understanding a camera. And one of the most kind of interesting side stories to that was I have a group of friends who also happen to be interested in photography. And there was one time where I got into a bit of a heated discussion with one of the friends that I have. And he basically said, you suck. You're not good at this. And I grew up playing sports. I still play hockey to this day, and there's this very competitive side to me. So it's interesting because the moment in time that I was at personally, coupled with someone kind of calling me out.
Yeah, you can't do this.
It was one of those situations where I was like, really? Well, we'll see how much I suck at that. So there was kind of a pilot light at the beginning, and that was like throwing gas on it. But the cool part, right, is that as I went back to school and I got involved in the creative community, which is extremely different than the corporate world, from a workflow standpoint, from a principle standpoint, and I won't go too deep into that right now for the purposes of this question, but the point is, as I immersed myself in school, I found that I really loved it, and there was I was learning not only new things, but meeting these interesting people that had completely new perspectives on what they saw and how they saw it, how they wanted to transcribe it, and how they communicated. So that led me to this whole creative community, which is absolutely amazing. There are some of the most interesting people I've ever met in my life are business owners and creatives. That's not to sell short anybody that I know in the corporate world. I'm talking purely from a personal opinion standpoint. I was just seeing things that I hadn't seen previously. So I began listening to podcasts and reading as many books as I could, and going to class, and working a full-time job, and going through a divorce, and raising kids, and studying, and doing projects. And it was this kind of I liken it to like getting a train going, right? Like it takes a lot of energy to get this huge massive hulk of steel and iron moving, but once it begins moving, the engine and inertia and a lot of other forces really get it going to the point where it's really hard to stop it. So I found a passion stream, and what I realized was the overlap between wanting to really make a connection with people and my previous desire to want to understand how systems connected. And you couple that with a third thing, which was business, And then the fire that was set from this very simple, and I don't necessarily think that the comment that was made to me about, you know, not being very good at the time, when you add all of those things together, and you put it in someone like with my personality, it just drove me to a point where I wanted to take it as far as I possibly could. And the interesting part about that is there really doesn't seem to be an end to it, you know. So I continue to explore creativity and explore business and explore technology. That was the beginnings of how I got into photography and the sideshow that transpired during that time.
And little did this guy know who told you that you sucked, you know, that you couldn't do it, that this would, that might be the match that led you to being able to travel around the world and, you know, shoot entrepreneurs and, you know, politicians and actors and marketers and all this other stuff. I mean, you've been all over the world doing this stuff, haven't you?
Yeah, it's travel's a really cool and interesting thing because it offers you perspective that you just, you know, wouldn't otherwise have, and you can't read it in a book. And if you really want to tell stories, you know, and you want to be authentic and true to those stories, then you need to go to interesting places and you need to get into adventures. And, you know, like my scenario was, like the first time I left the country, I went to Germany, and the trip was revolving around kind of a combination of a creative project as well as vacation. And I met up with a cousin of mine, her name's Carrie, and she was living in Prague at the time. But when I went there, I didn't speak a language. I don't speak German, obviously. And I flew out, you know, by myself. There was, you know, no one really there to, share that with. So there was a lot of fear, you know, when you're, it seems like the older you get, the more, fearful we become and the more risk averse we become. But, you know, I've always felt like I wanted to push through that. I never want fear to be the deciding factor in any decision-making process that I make. So I went to Germany and, saw some things that, I had never seen before and was very intimidated initially by, just that experience. But the cool part is, you know, at the end of the day, people are people, and the more people that I got to know and the different, you know, little bars that I would go into and seeing different clothes that people would wear. And, you know, when you're walking down the street in Berlin, you'll hear someone speaking in Czech and then someone speaking in German, and then you'll hear someone speaking Spanish and then someone speaking English. And this is all in a matter of seconds, whereas, you know, I'd never experienced that before. So, by the nature of what I do, and some of the personal interests that I have, my business has helped take me to places that I normally wouldn't have gone. And the cool sidecar to that is once you do that, it's like getting a bug. You know, you want to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. So if you're a storyteller, one of the best things I say you can possibly do is try to understand yourself, listen to other people, and travel as much as you possibly can, because you'll have a plethora of stories to tell.
So you know, you've mentioned a couple times telling your story. So what does that mean to, as an entrepreneur, what does it mean to tell your story? What does that mean to you?
Well, everybody, I think that it's twofold. I think the first is you have to be willing to be brutally, brutally honest with yourself at all times, because I think that leads to a level of authenticity that people really respect and admire. And I think the second part of that is when you're willing to open up I don't know if you can hear it, but my dog is in the background.
It's all good. When
you are brutally honest, when you just communicate with people and just share your stories, you start seeing a lot of overlap, and you start realizing that we're not as different as we think we are. You know, there's a lot of shared experience and a lot of shared struggle and a lot of shared happiness that I find. And the other cool part is you start attracting, when you're brutally honest with yourself and you understand who you are, you start attracting a lot of people that are very similar to you. And, you know, that's been one of the more interesting components of the who side of working with entrepreneurs, because to run a business, especially in America, it's hard. You know, you have to make some decisions about who do you want to be and what do you want to provide to the market and what who do you want to serve and how well do you want to do it and how do you separate yourself from other people and all of the concerns that come from a competition standpoint and budgeting and marketing. And, you know, I mean, when I came up with my, when I was going through part of my branding process to come up with my business logo, it took me nearly 3 months of back and forth and asking some really painful questions, because the root of that question was, who am I? How am I different? And how do I communicate effectively to the people that I want to talk to? So, those are some of the common things that you see with every single entrepreneur, especially small business owners. Excuse me, pardon me. So, you know, I mean, I really like that side of it where you're once you make a decision to go into business, and I don't care what you're doing, I don't care what widget you sell or what service you provide. If you want to do it really, really, really well, you've got to be really, really, really honest with yourself and with the people that you're trying to serve. So that's been kind of the big picture, most interesting thing that I found in working with small business owners so far.
So when you started your business, I imagine, like most of us, you had you were telling a certain story. And then as your business has matured, have you seen that story change at all that you're telling in your own business?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think my interest, so the subgenres of the styles that I was attempting to emulate, right? So as an artist, you're trying to develop your own style. That's something that is taught to you very early, that it's not enough to just copy other people. And you do that by the nature of learning other styles from other people. But so I would shoot, I love modern glamour photography. I've studied under, in my mind, one of the world's premier photographers. Her name's Sue Bryce. She's if you don't know her, I would really recommend that you look her up. But her target market is women. But the story that she wants to tell is she wants women to understand that they're absolutely beautiful, that you know, all of the doubts and all of the concern and all of the self-judgment that women have, she wants to help remove that and celebrate, you know, femininity in a lot of ways. Well, you contrast that to someone like Zach Arias, right, who is a photographer based out of Atlanta. And he does commercial portrait work for mostly people, but he a lot of his client base is hip hop artists and underground bands that are beginning to come up. He wanted to tell a bit of a musical story, but he's trying to help design cover art for albums or whatever it is that you happen to need. So you compare that to. You know, glamour photography, and you know, maybe you're also studying someone like Chase Jarvis, who is an incredible, here's a guy who's got, I believe he's got a master's degree in philosophy, who's running this amazing photography studio out of Seattle, and he's creating a company called, you know, Creative Live, who has radically changed how education is delivered for creatives in the marketplace. So, I mean, It's a combination for me, to circle back to your original question. I am really just an aggregate of a lot of styles that I've adopted and studied under over the years. And the common thread is that I really like people and places. So I always knew that, you know, I wanted to tell the stories of the people that the folks that I was working with and the places that I had gone to, because that's just what interests me, you know. So in terms of style, I definitely think it's an ever evolving thing. You certainly get better and better the more and more you practice your craft. You should always be challenging yourself. At least I feel that way. And the minute you get comfortable, I would start reevaluating, am I doing the right thing? So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, that's right. So you have, most entrepreneurs have these internal battles that go on inside their head. I don't know if you ever noticed that. You know, some of us call it head trash. You know, my first business coach years ago called it head trash, and you know, I've heard that term thrown around. But in essence, it's really, there are stories that are going on inside of our own heads every day. What kind of dialogue happens inside of Michael Montalto's head? What kind of stories seem to maybe sideline you?
Self-doubt. That's the, you know, I think one of the biggest questions that I ask myself is, you know, am I a hack? Am I good enough at this? Can I make the kind of living out of this that I want to make? Am I really serving my customers to the best of my ability? There's a thousand no questions, right? The questions that lead you to no. And that internal struggle for me has been really, really difficult. You know, it's hard enough to make a living in business as an entrepreneur. It's also a challenge to try and make a business in the creative world. And what I find is in the Midwest, it becomes even more difficult. Now, that's one way to look at it, right?
Yeah.
Another way to look at it is, so what? It's just excuses that you're telling yourself. And what I've found is, it's been easier and easier for me to find people who support me and who respect what I do and how I do it. But the biggest critic, I personally feel like, if you really want to find someone who's going to be a success, and however you define success is up to you, but the way I define it is someone who really contributes to the world and, you know, does good by themselves, their family, and others. But for me, the biggest challenge that I've always had in this is myself. You know, I'm constantly struggling with, am I good enough to do this? Can I deal with the realities that come along with the struggle of not having a lot of a security blanket, of a full-time job? You know, how do I balance that? Do I do what I used to do, which is work a full-time job and practice my business at night and on weekends? But you know, and then there's the sacrifice when it comes to time with your kids. I think it's a never-ending juggling act of doubt, and I think that the remedy to it is stop making excuses and really ask yourself, do I really want to be doing this? Because if you really do, then at the end of the day, you're going to find a way to do it. And if you don't do it, then you didn't really want to do it in the first place. And
you literally took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, if you really want it, you're going to find a way. And I think that's huge, because that's exactly where I was going, is how do you deal with that self-doubt when you notice it in your own head? And so what you're saying is you've been able to recognize it, take a step back, and you ask yourself these questions?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it's look, it's hard. You know, this is not – no one said this is going to be easy. You know, I love that quote. There's this great quote that says – and I tell this to my kids all the time. They'll come in and say, Dad, this is hard. And I say, yeah. It's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be worth it. And I love that, because it surmises so much and crystallizes so much in such a very simple statement. You know, it's The most interesting people that I've ever met in my life all have some struggle story to tell. And in fact, they usually have multiple struggle stories to tell. You know, I could tell you 85 of, you know, 85 different stories from friends or family members or acquaintances that I've met over the years who have gone through some form of pain, and through that pain have learned some really interesting remedies and solutions to those problems. So for me, it's the biggest limitation. I'll go back to it. The biggest limitation for me has always been myself. You know, I feel like I've gotten in my own. I've always been the one who's put myself in bad situations, and you know, I always find a way to dig myself out, but not after achieving some pretty good battle scars to go along the way.
So you work a lot with creatives that we've been talking about here. What's been a thing or two that you've noticed that may be unique to creative entrepreneurs that might be a good thing or a thing that they're doing to sabotage themselves? I mean, either way, what comes to mind?
So the number one thing is they don't treat it like a business, right? The cool part about creatives are they want to create, and they're interested in doing the work, and they're interested in making connections, and they're interested in all of the human side of, in my mind, the part that we do it for. You know, the most of the great artists in the world, they don't make a very good living based purely on their talent. Versus someone with a focus in business, where we're, you know, let's face it, you know, we tend to be very profit driven when it comes to companies. And the interesting part about all this is, when you look at the creative community, you say, all right, well, how do you bring this to market? How do you repeat this process so that you can continue to do what you love doing? And when you look at the corporate side of things, or I shouldn't necessarily use the corporate word, the word corporate. What I really mean is the business side. When you look at the business side, you start asking yourself, well, are you doing what you loved? Or are you just in this to make money? You know, so that's been the most, I would say, the biggest contrast or overlapping deficiency. And that's, I realize that's a hard word, but whenever I've worked with creatives, they're really, really, really good at being creative, but they don't necessarily have a plan in place, and they just don't think that way. You know, they want to make things. So that's by far been the biggest common thread that I've found with some of the creative elements or creative entrepreneurs that I've worked with or studied with in my career.
So I've known you for a few years, and I can say that you seem to be a little more organized than the average creative. What advice, like what are a couple like non-negotiables that a creative entrepreneur is going to need to have in place in order to stay focused on building a strong business?
I would say know what you love to do. Surround yourself with great people who do things well that you need to do but don't want to do. And third, only do the things that you love to do and delegate the rest. That you know, I was lucky, to circle back to your earlier point, because I grew up in technology, and I understood how tools could help me stay organized. It was you know, I knew how to type by the time I was 13 ish in that area. I knew and understood the value of a calendar, you know, by the time I was 17, 18. I knew and thought about workflow process and, you know, how to get or deliver, you know, on a schedule. So for me, it was a little easier because I didn't begin, right? I was more of a businessman who loved the arts and got into the arts by training. my passion, it was opposite, right? So, yeah, I think that's really the big thing is know what you love to do, surround yourself with people who are going to support you and help you to do the things that you need to do, and be relentless and honest with what your strengths and what your weaknesses are, and you know, pay people or find people who are going to help you to achieve whatever goals you have. And if you can't, and if you're not finding those people, trust me, they're out there. Keep looking. You will find them. That much I do know.
Do you have any daily routines that you follow that help you stay focused on your business?
On the business or just in general? So on the business, planning, right, is a big component of it. Where one of the things that I struggle with is not setting goals or setting project plans or thinking about milestones or tasks or any of that. That I go back to, you know, I can fall back to some of my business training on that. I have a routine though that I follow in terms of, you know, the time that I get up. I've learned enough about myself to identify certain things that I need to do in order to just live a relatively happy life, you know. But when it comes to business, for me, the way my brain works is I have to know where everything is, and everything has a place. I guess that's kind of contrary to a lot of the, you know, the opposite or some of the creative folks that I've worked with in the past. Where, you know, you come to their desk and it's just full of papers that are everywhere, but that, you know, they know where things are. I can't work like that. You know, I need structure in order for me to be able to recall things, because frankly, my memory is not all that great. So, but I, you know, I have a calendar that I try to live by. I try to keep myself curious about a lot of different things that's in my nature to want to explore new things. But I think the big thing for me is just, again, being really clear on what it is that you want to do, and being figuring out who you are, and being relentless in terms of finding the best ways to do it. So, like, you know, getting up at, you know, 6 a.m. every day and having, you know, breakfast at, you know, 6:15, and brushing my teeth on certain times. So that's just how I work. It's not necessarily the best way for other people, but I've just been observant of what I think works for me, and you know, that's how I've stayed on task. I don't usually struggle too much in that area because it's innate in me to do those things. Where I struggle is a lot of the mental stuff. The 2 questions ago or so, right. That's more the challenge for me, is getting in my own head.
So somebody's listening to this that's working in a, you know, corporate job or any sort of job. Let's just call it a job, not pick on the corporate world, right? if somebody's working and they're thinking like they might want to take a shot at starting their own business, it's been rolling around in our head for a while. It keeps popping up. What advice would you give them before they pull the trigger on that?
You know, for me, I feel like I'm repeating too much. I'm not being as interesting as I could be, but I think at the end of the day, if you wake up and you're thinking about, let's just say, singing, you know, or writing, if you have that in you, you know, do it, right? You can still start small. Like, I'll give you an example. When I was first shooting, I didn't have anywhere near the camera equipment that I have today. I didn't have the budget for it, and I didn't have the understanding of the task, but I just knew that I wanted to take pictures, right? So I would go out and shoot anything. You know, I was interesting. I was looking at my Facebook feed the other day, just kind of going through old pictures and being a little bit nostalgic about my boys, And I found this picture, and it was a self-portrait of me, and I was just kind of trying to figure out split lighting at the time. And it said something along the lines of, you know, no camera, sketch. No subject, shoot yourself. You know, no ideas, go to Pinterest and find some inspiration. And on and on and on. But the point was, I didn't have a lot at the time. I had such an interest in doing it that I found ways to go out and do whatever it was that I wanted to do. So I guess my advice to your question is, if you really, truly want to do something, do it. You know, make time, think it through, do as much as you can to plan, but you have to actually do whatever it is that you want to do. And then you can start doing other things like exploring education or getting yourself involved in a community. Because one of the coolest parts about the internet now is you can find groups to, I don't care what your interests are, you can find like-minded people pretty much anywhere these days. That, you know, obviously you may be in a small town or maybe you don't have a car or whatever the case may be. But here's the bottom line. If you love something, the world and you are a better place by you doing that. And it doesn't matter where the path ends or where it takes you. It just matters that you follow whatever your passion stream is and do that thing. So I guess really, you know, stop making excuses and just figure out if you're being honest with yourself about doing whatever it is that you want to do and go do it. Because if you don't do it, then you didn't really want to do it in the first place. People do what their priorities are. Never ask someone, in my opinion, what their priorities are. Just observe them in what they do over a given month. And whatever they do, that's what their priorities are.
Yeah, I've heard somebody said to me once, if you want to know what somebody's priorities are, look at their where they spend their money and look at their calendar.
Yeah.
and you'll pretty much nail it. What I found interesting when you were sharing there a minute ago was talking about if you're somebody who, you know, you're thinking about singing or you're thinking about writing or whatever it is. Where I think a lot of people, you know, sabotage themselves as they let that head trash come in and tell them that, oh, it's not worth going after, or you're too old, or you're too whatever. And so it is so much about just that mental game of not buying into the false stories that we tell ourselves of why we can't take a shot at things. Because it would have been really easy for you to say, well, you know, I got this job and I'm going through a lot of stuff. Personally, you know, the worst use of my time right now would be pursuing this business, right?
Yeah, I mean, everybody is different in their own way, and everyone's motivated in their own way. Or you know, the circumstances are going to be different. And I just feel like when it comes to, and I did the examples that I gave were creative, like writing and singing and photography. But maybe you want to start a pet store or something. But I guess what I'm really saying is you can take small steps to get to a bigger, broader scope. I think we have these big dreams, right? And once we start analyzing what is it going to take to get there, people go, oh, well, that's a lot of work. And that's when, you know, a lot of the head trash begins to come in. I'm back to the excuses thing. This is where I say you've got to begin with what do you love to do, mm-hmm. right? Because I don't think we sell, you know, training for dogs and cats because, you know, we want to educate dogs and kids. It's because we love animals. You know, there's a root cause behind whatever it is that we do. And I think if you can find that, if you truly feel that way, you're going to do it as a hobby. And perhaps that hobby turns into a profession. Maybe it doesn't stay as a profession. Maybe, again, I go back to the path thing. Whatever the path is that you go to, it doesn't matter how far it goes. It just matters. I would be more disappointed in myself if I didn't explore my interests and if I just ignored them than if I actually did them and failed. I'm okay with failure. I just, I would have a problem with not doing it, you know, with not having the experience. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to be on my deathbed saying, I wish I would have done, I wish I would have done, I wish I would have done. I would assume that there's not a lot of regrets on a deathbed.
All right, I want to change gears here just for a minute. All right, we're in this age of do-it-yourself marketing. So I guess I want to get a little little more tactical here for the small business owner, entrepreneur, solopreneur that might be listening to this. So in this age of do-it-yourself marketing, maybe they're not ready to pull the trigger on hiring somebody of your caliber to do images and stuff for them. What are some essentials that an entrepreneur like that would need in order to tell their story in an effective way? I mean, what's some just non-negotiable type stuff if I'm a entrepreneur trying to let the world know who I am?
That's a good question. I had so many questions, I didn't know where to begin. So one of the things that I did was study, right? So I went to, I used free tools, right? So I would go to YouTube and I would start typing in small business. I would start, small business studios, photography studios, marketing 101. I would read, I would find as inexpensive resources at the time as I could to better understand whatever topic it was that I was talking about. So my point is get educated, as much educated, and be willing to say, I don't know about this. Let's figure out what I don't know, right? There's that, if you go back to Socrates, he says, I know what I don't know. And that's it's pretty profound thinking. So in today's world with Google and YouTube and all of the online resources that we have for research and education, I think if you are wanting to know about something, you can do research from next to free. You can find groups that you can begin to go and collaborate with other people. Networking groups are amazing, and you're going to get some form of value out of them. And that's going to be different for different people. Some people find a lot of value and they want to be in them forever. Some people, they go there, they meet a couple of people, they cherry pick the data that they need, and then they move, they're ready to move on to other things. But for me, I was very diligent about doing research, and the research led me to the resources that I need in order to answer questions that I had about marketing. Now, that's the very beginnings. If we start asking ourselves questions about, like, what do you need in order to have a face in the world, that's a deeper question.
Sure. So let's go back, as we kind of wrap this up here, let's go back to that day that dude told you you sucked. Yeah. And that, you can't do this is really what he was saying. And the Michael of that was standing there that day, what would that Michael standing there that day when that guy said you can't do it, what would he think of the Michael that he sees now?
I think, well, first let me say this. To the guy who said that, and this is actually a pretty good guy, and he was being truthful in comparison. But number one, thank you, right, to him. but I think, I feel like I've grown a lot. But the interesting thing now is I don't even look at the work as the big deal. I look at the experiences that I've had. I think I almost want to answer your question in reverse. Like if what I would say to that person, or maybe that would be my son, and someone said, you can't do this. If you have any fuel in you, if you can turn that into fuel, I would say what the experiences that you're going to go through and the sacrifices that you're going to have to make are going to be worth it. And it will change so much in your life if you are willing to take some risks, work really hard, and never let anybody but you define you. So I guess to answer your question the way you wanted it asked, I would be really proud of what I saw looking back at me. But I would also want to ask a whole bunch of questions. You know, how did you do this? And what did you, you know, you know, so I think that's the way I would answer that one.
Well, that's cool, man. And you should be proud. You know, that guy, you've come a long way in several years. I know you've done a lot of cool stuff, helped a lot of people tell their story. You know, even when you did, you know, the headshots for me and things like that, some of those are on my website now. It came at a time where a lot of other things in my business were coming together, and you were the right guy at the right time to help tell the story that was happening for me right then. So, you know, thank you for helping me, man. So if people want to find you, reach out to you, connect with you, how do they do it? What's the best way?
Sure. So you can go to my website. It's at michaelmontaltophotography.com. Or you can reach out on Twitter. It's M Montalto. That's M-M-O-N-T-A-L-T-O. .com. I'm sorry, excuse me. At M Montalto. That's on Twitter. Or you can reach me on Facebook at Michael Montalto Photography as well. So, or you know, give me a call, hit me up, and happy to talk to anybody.
Sounds good, man. Well, Michael, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. I look forward to catching up more in the future and seeing where your business goes. And for those of you that joined us today, thanks for hanging out with us. I hope that you take one thing, like I share every week that we talk about this with all of our guests, pick the one thing that resonated with you the most and act on it. Just go do something, take a step forward, create some momentum so that you can put a bullet in mediocrity in your life and build a stronger business. So thanks again for hanging out with us, Michael. Everybody have a great day. And until next time, see you later.
Thanks.